But I've been just so blessed by this brother and his passion for teaching the Word of God and spreading the gospel. And so blessed that you're here with us this morning. And so come on up, brother. The stage is yours. Would you give Rabbi Eduardo a hand as he comes? We're so blessed to continue in our relationship with you guys.
Bless you. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. All right. Happy Sunday, NC Church. How's everybody doing? You guys got some energy? Second service, how you feel? God is good, amen. Let's just pray real quick and we'll get right into it. Abba, Avinu Shebashamayim, Father, our Lord in heaven. Just thank you, Lord, for this community. Thank you, Lord, for its leadership. Thank you for the servant hearts of your people who are here. Lord, I just lift the message to you. Just breathe over, Holy Spirit, take control. Allow what you want to come out. And may the people just receive it. May the hearts be good ground. May we all be edified by how you teach us, such a pillar in the body of Messiah, such a pillar in the church to be able to preach the word, proclaim the word, because the word is life to us, Lord. And we need you this day. We need you this moment. We need you every moment, Lord. So I just breathe, Holy Spirit, once again on your people. We need you, Lord, for refreshment, renewal, revival, Lord. You're just such a holy God, and may you be magnified, Lord. May you be lifted up. May we be forgotten. May you receive all the praise and honor. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, second service. What's up? So I will be referring to Yeshua, Jesus as Yeshua. There's this Hebrew name, Aramaic name. I use both. I go back and forth. So just so when you hear me say that, no one's so confused. I just want to thank Pastor Rick, NC Church, his whole staff. I mean, godly people love you guys. Honestly, my family loves coming here. My kids love going to church. They love coming here to worship with you all. So we really thank you. My wife, Amy, who was part of the mass exodus that just occurred a moment ago. We're here with our two little boys, Aiden and Zach. That's my wife. Currently, I serve as a rabbi in Pennsylvania. But recently, within the past year, the Lord has called my family and I to move to New York City to plant the Messianic congregation, the Messianic synagogue in Manhattan, to proclaim the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and the nations. So there has not been a viable Messianic congregation to proclaim the gospel to the Jewish people and the nations inside of Manhattan for a long time. So we're actually, it's really pioneering work. So we covered your prayers and all that good stuff with what's happening with that. So the name is still in flux, but we're very thankful for the Lord who shows up, amen, and who calls his people. In the midst of this, the heart of this message, the heart of this teaching really flows out of the time that I've spent with the Lord and finding what the Lord has called me to do and his purpose for my life. So the title is Pursuing the Wilderness, Intimacy with the Lord. Who knows we need some intimacy with the Lord? Who knows no matter how deep you might be with the Lord or how close you might be with him, there's always deeper waters, right? I've given up this thing. I've had victory over this difficulty in my life, but maybe there's a new thing. Getting a little closer to the fire, a greater outpouring of the Spirit of God in our lives to empower us. And the real crux of this whole entire message is that these things happen in the wilderness. Our first verse comes from Hosea 2:14. Hosea 2:14, if you've got your paper Bibles, you're a real one. Big shout to you. It says, therefore, behold, I'm going to persuade her. Bring her into the wilderness and speak kindly to her. This is the Lord speaking through the prophet Hosea about the children of Israel. And to take them from the difficulty that they're going through, because the background of the book of Hosea is that there's sin and rebellion in the camp of Israel. There's wickedness and abominations and idolatries, and they're doing things against the Torah and the word of God that was revealed to them. But the Lord, in his kindness and in his mercy, he says, I'm going to persuade my people and pull them back into the wilderness. Many times as believers, we talk about the wilderness in a way that scripture doesn't represent the wilderness. See, the wilderness is not punishment, but it's pursuit. See, oftentimes we're in the wilderness because we've done something wrong. We've missed the mark with God. And the wilderness is a place of reset. Anybody old enough to remember the original Nintendo? the Super Nintendo, when the game started glitching, what'd you have to do? Holy Spirit, breathe on this game. Set this game free from its afflictions and oppressions. Casting a demon out the Nintendo game. It was a reset for God's people. And many of us look down upon the wilderness. Who has heard or heard someone say, I'm in a wilderness season right now with the Lord, right? I'm in a season of trying to figure things out. I want to exhort you that not only do you mistakenly take two wrong lefts and wind up in the wilderness season, but God himself is wooing you and pursuing you and calling you into the wilderness season. You might be wondering why. We're going to get into that. It could even be after rebellion. Perhaps a great wickedness, a shortcoming, a moral failure. Perhaps not even taking the time to pursue and seek the Lord. And now the Lord is wooing you, calling you, pursuing you out of his love to go back to that wilderness season. The wilderness season can be a honeymoon of intimacy and trust, even when you may not know how things are going to play out. See, I firmly believe, and this has been something that I seek to drive my life, is that I seek to often find myself in the wilderness with the Lord. Because in the wilderness of the Lord, everything else fades away. There's vulnerability where we can be in front of him and know him as he is and get to know him better and really return to that first love. If you're married, remember when you met your spouse? Man, that was fireworks. Thinking about them all the time. Wanting to know about them. I shared about me and my wife Amy's first date. Very expensive, all right? We went to Applebee's, half-price appetizers after 9. Y'all know what I'm talking about, Berwick? Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. A lot of marriages have been fortified in Applebee's, half-price appetizers. In that day, you ask, hey, what do you like? Where'd you grow up? You pay attention to their eye color, their hair color. You notice if they change their hair color. You want to know all the details about them and where they've been and where they lived and what their favorite movie is. And even if you don't know the movie, you act like it's a good one. Oh, yeah, I hear that. You're interested and consumed by this honeymoon love, this new intimacy, this trust. Brother and sister, this is the wilderness. You know, it's so crazy is that I think back over that first time we hung out together, and there might as well have not been anyone else there, right? There's this all-consuming focus on the object of your affection. And the Lord is seeking to do this for us. This invitation, and what's so beautiful about this, the Lord's wooing and pursuing is not because of our own goodness. But he's calling Israel back even in the midst of her sin. Even in the midst of her rebellion and wickedness and missing the mark, which we all do, amen? Even in the midst of our shortcomings, he says, come back, I love you, come to the wilderness. Come to the space and the place where all the distractions fade away and everything of this world melts away and it's only you and I over a Buffalo Wild Wings and ranch. Who likes blue cheese? I don't trust any of you. Blue cheese people, just joking. Blue cheese people are a whole different breed, right? And the wilderness season is a place of restoration and fortification of relationship. Because everything else fades away. Everything else fades away. See, in the wilderness season, in the wilderness space where the Lord woos us and calls us back, and there's even an invitation for us to carve out wilderness space out of the busyness of our lives. Whether it's spouses, other family, children, jobs, home responsibilities. The Lord calls us to create a space and a time where we can be with him. See, if you made the Lord the center and structured everything else around the Lord, you will find your purpose and your destiny and have this intimacy with the Lord and realize that he indeed provides for you. If you've got your Bibles, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 to 3. While the children of Israel are walking around the wilderness, and Moses is recounting Deuteronomy in the rabbinic understanding is called the Mishnah Torah. It's the second Torah, Mishneh Torah. It's basically the second recounting of the journey of the children of Israel. And Moses said to the people, Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 3, it says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness for these 40 years in order to humble you, putting you to the test to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you go hungry. That doesn't fit with our theology all the time, right? The Lord let you go hungry. Why? So that he could feed you with manna, with the bread from heaven, which you didn't know. Your fathers didn't know. So he might teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on everything that proceeds out of the mouth of our God. See, the wilderness season is a place of testing. It's a place of being taught by God. It's a place of reliance on the Lord. And even after the deepest, darkest rebellion, remember, the 40 years of wilderness in Egypt was due to rebellion. It's only a few days' journey to make it to the promised land. Why were they there for 40 years? It was because of wilderness and grumbling, not receiving the provisions of God. But here in the wilderness, it can be a renewal. Even out of rebellion, maybe you've missed the mark. Maybe you, like me so many times, have missed the opportunities to carve out a wilderness for the Lord, a space before you and him. Brothers and sisters, now we can go back to that and be encouraged and exhorted. Amen? Everybody with me? You can get away for a bit to get into the Word of God. If before nighttime you can peel yourself away after the kids fall asleep and spend some intimate time with the Lord. This is the time where you are saying, Lord, I need you for my life. I need you for everything that I'm going through. I don't know how to be a good mom. Oh, God, teach me how to be a good mother. I don't know how to be a good husband. Oh, Lord, teach me how to be a good husband. Oh, Lord, I know there are things in me that are contrary to you and against your word. Oh, Lord, teach me to be transformed. Empower me, oh Holy Spirit, to die to self. And if you're in the wilderness, this is where it can happen because it's just you and him. Think about it as that first date, that intimacy, that closeness, that focus on the object of your affection. The charge of the Lord against one of the churches in the book of Revelation is that they have forgotten their first love. Have we forgotten our first love? Have we forgotten the Lord Yeshua? Have we forgotten the Lord Jesus? How many of us, when we first got saved and came to a belief that Yeshua, Jesus, was the Messiah, we became born again, and we felt that renewal, that refreshment, that power of the Spirit of God. We said, Lord, I'll go anywhere. I'll tell anybody about it. Didn't matter who they are. I'll go to Jamaica, Africa, China. I like Chinese food. I'll go anywhere, Lord, and proclaim your truth. In the wilderness is a place where we can get back to this first love, this intimacy with the Lord. And I feel that this is an emphasis specifically for this service, is a return to the first love. The emphasis wasn't there so strong in the first service, but I feel in this service a return to the first love. Even in Song of Songs, the Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5, which is this very long love poem between Solomon and his wife, and they go back and forth. But look at what it says of wilderness as a place of intimacy. Song of Songs, 8:5, or Songs of Solomon. It says, who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Beneath the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother went into labor with you. There she went into labor and gave birth to you. See, in the wilderness, we learn to learn. If you can find yourself in the wilderness space, you will learn from the Lord because all the distractions are gone. Best feature a phone has. You know what it is? Do not disturb. AKA, leave me alone. Okay? Best thing you can do. This is why I recommend, even if you do read digitally, iPad, I do that as well, have a paper Bible that you can get away from the world with. Reason being, because that paper Bible you got right there in your hand, brother, if you could put it up, most people don't see those too often. All right, so paper Bible, you don't get any notifications on those. No Facebook, no Twitter, none of that. No Instagram. No cousin that gets on your nerves? Anybody got a cousin that gets on your nerves? There's something about saying, Lord, I know that my life is busy. I've got a lot going on, but I just want to be with you in the wilderness. I need to learn how it is to be your child. I need to learn how it is to spend time with you. And I need to learn to know you. And the intimacy that happens in the wilderness, notice that even there in the wilderness is where the mother gave birth to this one that becomes the beloved of Solomon. See, in the wilderness, there's this growing, there's this openness, there's this intimacy, and this is where you can have passion and expectation awakened. Who knows that this walk gets kind of dull sometimes? That things can, the same old same, same service, what song are we doing, right? I wish they would change the coffee. No, I'm just fine. I don't know. We always got things we talk about, right? Things that we always think could be better. But really, if you've got the fire of the Messiah, if you've got that passion with him, if you've got that intimacy with him, then nothing else matters. Everything else seems to go into the right place. Everything is secondary to knowing him. And if as individuals, as individual believers, men, women, and younger teenagers, and if we would go and find our individual wilderness and intimacy with the Lord, then when we come together as the body Messiah, what a fire would be here on a Sunday morning. Amen? What a fire for the Lord when we're in unison, and as we're going through our life, we're dying to self, we're being transformed, we're knowing the Lord better so we can reflect him better to this dying world. And this is what it's about, going in that wilderness, but we have to be intentional about it. You can't just say, oh, you know, I think it'll be nice to know the Lord better. No, no, we got to be, pursue it, go after it. And his desire is that we would go with him in the wilderness. Who wants to go in the wilderness? Carve some time out with the Lord. Hear from his voice. Get to know him more deeply and intimately. I promise you, your life will never be the same. If you go after him with everything that you have, he will be found. One of my favorite verses says that the Lord is attentive to the cry of his people. All of you who have a child, you have a kid, you have a baby, 1 year old, 2 years old. You know your baby's cry, don't you? And they could be with 50 other babies. If your baby yells out, you know your baby's cry. To everyone else, it sounds the same, but you know your baby's cry because you love your baby. You turn to your baby. You will go to your baby. If my son came in here right now, he called me because something was wrong, I'm sorry, you guys got to wait till I get back, right? If me, who is so wicked, knows this, how much more so the Lord when we cry out to him as his sons and daughters? Is his ear not attentive? Is he not quick to come and meet us? And to tend to our needs and to refoster the intimacy and teach us. This is why the wilderness is so important. And for most people, most things that we struggle with is, what do you want to be when you grow up? I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Anybody else with me? Who still is wondering what they want to be when they grow up? Big shout to you, all right? Still trying to figure it out, you know? The wilderness is a place of calling and destiny. No one here and no one ever created by the Lord is a mistake or an accident. You have a purpose and a destiny. And that God called you to be a world changer and transformer in your sphere of influence. He called you to radiate the glory of the living God, to be transformed, to die to yourself, and speak life to those that are dying. Brothers and sisters, we've been given the antidote for every ail of humanity. Every ail of humanity, and that is the risen Christ, the Messiah. And that may look different in different spheres. Maybe you do it in the business world. Maybe you're full-time ministry. Maybe you're a person who does it in the school. Maybe you do it as a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you do it in different spaces, in different places. But our calling and destiny is to represent the Lord. And how do we really get fortified in that calling and destiny? It's by going to the wilderness. It's by turning down all the noise of the world and turning down all the background noise and truly going after him. And that's hard to do. Since I started, who was thinking about what they're having for lunch? Thinking of, right? It happens. And look, it happens to everybody. Our minds are always thinking about so many different things. Our minds are always so consumed with so many worries and so many things, and the phone vibrating and things going off. This is why we need to be intentional. If you want to know what God called you to do, if who God called you to be, then you need to be in front of the one who called you. And Moses himself found his calling and destiny in the wilderness. How did Moses wind up in Midian? The kids would say he caught a body in Egypt. Moses killed the Egyptian and went on the run. And then he went all the way to Midian, and while he's there hiding because of what he did, there the Lord meets him in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 3. While he's in the wilderness being a shepherd, on the run from Egypt because he should have been in jail or killed for the crime that he committed. And the Lord meets him in the midst of the wilderness and speaks to him his destiny that he will bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know what you want to be when you grow up, if you don't want to know what your purpose is, you need to go to the wilderness and find the one who called you and formed you. The one who knit you together in your mother. The Lord didn't knit you together in creation and say, oh, I wonder what's going to happen to this one. And I'm not saying the Lord creates like this. I'm just saying. But when the Lord was forming us, I don't know how he would, right? He speaks and it is, right? When the Lord formed you together in your mother's womb, there's a destiny over us to be conformed and transformed into the image of the Messiah. And that means to be a disciple maker and a disciple of the kingdom, and to die to self, to bring praise and glory to the Lord. This is your destiny, and you will never find that destiny or be able to walk in that destiny if you are not in the wilderness with him. And my favorite thing about the wilderness is that it doesn't matter what you did before you got there, as long as you're there seeking him. And there can be a full restoration, renewal, and wholeness. In Exodus 3, 1 to 4, we don't need to read the whole thing, but there is where the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus, appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And the Lord called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. We need to go to the wilderness, because in the wilderness, your destiny will be revealed. When all the sounds of this life in this world are turned down, then we can truly hear the voice of the Spirit of who the Lord formed us to be. As we're relying, as we're trusting in him. Amen? Anybody want to go? I for sure do. I need to. I need to do more. The wilderness is also in Scripture a place of prophetic comfort. From the wilderness, comfort is spoken. As a person in the wilderness, if you go to the wilderness, when you're leaving the wilderness, you are going to be able to proclaim comfort for people. How is that possible? It's because when you go in the wilderness, you know the one who formed you and made you. From the time that you spend with him and the intimacy that you spend with him, you're able to bring that to others. Even John the Baptist, where was he? He was in the wilderness, Isaiah 40 and Luke chapter 3. John himself, the 6 month older cousin than Jesus, proclaims the coming of Jesus from the wilderness. Do we see how instrumental the wilderness is to the purpose and prophetic plan of God? John the Baptist being called and formed in the wilderness. In the wilderness, he became the voice, preparing the way for Yeshua, calling others into repentance and readiness for divine visitation. It's not enough that we're just disciples. We have to be disciples who make disciples. And truly being a disciple is going to that wilderness space and place to be empowered, refreshed, renewed, in order to bring about the redemption and call people and give them this great message. Amen? And one of the things that I love the most about this whole Hosea passage, chapter 2, which remember, Hosea, the book of Hosea, is full of judgments against the children of Israel because of their wickedness and rebellion. But even in the midst of their wickedness and rebellion, the Lord says that he's going to call them to the wilderness and speak kindly to her. And Hosea 2:15, if you've got it, this is a great verse to circle in your Bible or highlight. If you use a highlighter, you're super wild, okay? Anybody who uses a highlighter in a Bible, my wife colors in her Bible like it's a coloring book. I can't do it. The real gangsters, right, coloring their Bible. Hosea 2:15 says, Then, after he's spoken to her in the wilderness, he will give her vineyards from there. What comes from vineyards? Grapes. Fruit. See, the thing is, when you meet the Lord in the wilderness and you go after him where he wants to speak kindly to you, no matter what you did, if you are there in the wilderness space, have an intimacy with him, he'll give you vineyards. Now, in the modern context, we don't always know what that means. What do I need a vineyard for? I'll just go to the supermarket. But vineyards represented fruitfulness. See, the first commandment that was ever given to people was to be fruitful and multiply. We're used to multiplying. That's easy. All the guys laughing. But being fruitful is difficult. Easy to multiply. Animals multiply. But can we be fruitful? See, in the wilderness is where you can be fruitful. In the wilderness is where you bring all your mess. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever shortcomings, whatever mistakes, whatever opportunities missed, whatever years of mistakes that you've done, whatever bad decisions you might have made in the wilderness, you go back to the Lord because the Lord is desiring that you would come back. You go to that wilderness space and you say, Lord, here I am with my stuff. I don't know what to do and I just need you. And when you're in that space, in that place, God will lift you up because of the humility that we're entering in. And there will be a transformation in your life. You will go a couple of years down the road and you will not recognize yourself. Just yesterday, someone gave us several pictures of me from 20 years ago. I was about 40 pounds lighter, a lot of spikes, all right? Amy liked the spikes, all right? She says no now, but she's lying, okay? She likes the spikes. If in the physical, we can look so different in 10 years, 5 years, 6 years, how many of us know people who look so different even after 5 years, 3 years? Your kids that go from 3 to 6, they look like totally different people. My 6-year-old is like a grown man. I don't know what. Just a few years make a difference just in the natural. Imagine if you spend the next 12 months in the wilderness with the Lord, what you would be like, what we can be like. Imagine you go a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years in the carving out wilderness times with the Lord to have intimacy with him. Think about this. How great would our marriages be if we had first dates all the time? You know, half price appetizer. Very easy to do. I didn't know if me and my wife were going to work out because she does like blue cheese a little bit, so. I feel a strong impression that the Lord is asking us, myself included, is if we want to be fruitful in this life. Or do we just want to go through the motions, go to church, have a good family, take good pictures for Facebook and Instagram? Or do we really want to be fruitful in this life? And that's a decision that we all can answer and that we all should answer with a yes. And the way to get to be more fruitful is by knowing the Lord, because the reality is we don't have the answers. I know I don't. I don't know what I'm doing next week unless my wife tells me. You think I know what I'm doing? I need the Lord. I need him so much. And every single one of us do. And I think the wilderness is the opportunity to really seek him out and to know him. And to be transformed by him. And what I love about it is that in the wilderness, as you're reading your Bible, because you're not just like looking at trees while you're out there, right? You're praying, you're reading your Bible, even if it's in your own little prayer closet, or maybe it's a room downstairs, or maybe you can get away to the basement or the living room, but you're just with the Lord, with your Bible, and you're praying and you're seeking him. And what's amazing is that when you're reading your Bible, as you're going through scripture, you're going through things that happen, you say, hold on, God made everything out of nothing. God slayed giants for his people. He raised the dead. He parted a sea, destroyed an army in the waters. He stopped the celestial bodies, the sun, from moving. And that's even before we get to the New Testament. So if you're in this and you're reading this, then you start thinking about your own life. Well, I wouldn't be here if God didn't make me. I wouldn't be here if God didn't give me breath. You know, Lord, I would have never got out of that situation if it wasn't for you. And then you think about those dozens and dozens, and for me, 100 situations that I would have never gotten out of without the Lord. And there's a thought that came to me. How many situations do I not know about that the Lord delivered me from? Just for his mercy and kindness that he never revealed. There's no number. And as you live with this reality, because you're often in the wilderness space, you'll be able to have a deeper trusting of the Lord. Because the next time you face a giant, the next time Egypt is chasing you and you're before the sea, the next time when you have an army against you, next time you have a physical ailment, a spiritual ailment, anything that faces you, you know that the God who came through before will come through again. The God who delivered before will deliver again. And then you have more confidence for tomorrow, because if he came through yesterday, if he's coming through today, come on, church, then he'll come through tomorrow. Amen. Isn't that empowering? Isn't that so encouraging? And we know that Jesus, Yeshua, is the greatest role model, right? Anybody got anybody different they want to suggest? We know he's the greatest role model. And he often went into the wilderness. He would preach all day, perform miracles for his people, and then spend all night in prayer unto the Father. Why did he do that? He did that because as the role model, he laid for us the path to get to the space and place where we can represent the Lord rightly in this world. And if he did it, we should do it too. Amen? Even he himself, as being filled by the Spirit, he gets tempted by Satan in the wilderness for 40 days. And while he's in the wilderness, he defeats the enemy. He defeats Satan by the word of God that was inside of him. Can you imagine Satan and Jesus in the wilderness? And Satan tempts Jesus with bread. And he's hungry. He's fasting for 40 days. And then Jesus goes, "Hey, Siri, give me a verse about being hungry." He had the word hidden inside of him from all the previous times he was in the wilderness. So when he faced the next trials, the word of God was able to well up inside of him, and he was able to speak it, not as a spell or something magical, but he stood on the reality, because the word of God is truly powerful. It will set people free. It is the real bread that we're called to be living on. Amen? And how do we get to that space? Because we're in the wilderness with the word of God. We need to be in the word of God, brothers and sisters. If you're not, get into it. Amen? And here's the final thought I want to bring to you as I wrap up, and we're going to pray. Because I believe that we can make a commitment to this thing, to pursue the Lord more deeply in the wilderness space. Amen? But the ending of Hosea 2, big part of Hosea 2, 19, is that the Lord speaks to his rebellious, wicked children, Israel, calling them to the wilderness because he's going to talk kindly to them. Even though they're misbehaving and sinful, he still brings them back. He says, "I'm going to make you fruitful." And then look at what it says in Hosea 2:19. He says, "I will betroth you to me forever. Then you will know the Lord." Nothing's lost. Nothing's lost. Everything can be restored, and we can be back unified with the Lord, with the intimacy that might have been broken or might have been lost, but we're reconciled, and we know our purpose, we know our destiny, we know where God is calling us to, we're empowered by the Spirit, and we're fruitful in his life. And that is God's call for his people. Amen? A few couple of verses. See, the Lord calls us a spiritual wilderness, the secret place of intimacy and reliance. And I really feel strongly impressed upon me from the Lord this exhortation for this specific service, not the service before, but this service specifically, to return to that first love in a deeper, deeper, more intimate way. Amen? And I know that can be difficult. Why? Because we've got many things going on. Who's busy this week? Who's got stuff going on? We all got crazy stuff going on, right? Very busy. And I know that it may be very difficult to carve out time to go into the wilderness, but you cannot afford to not go into the wilderness space and place. You cannot afford it. Because if you lack him, if you're not looking towards him, you're going to make decisions without him, decisions outside of his will. You're not going to be empowered by the Spirit. And who knows that you can't be successful unless you're in him. Right? Psalm 63:1 says, God, you are my God. I shall be watching for you. I know we've all had this at some time or another, but is this our continual heart cry of, Lord, when can I meet with God? I want to be with God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Lord, when can I meet with you? And I'll be honest with you, and me and my wife were talking about this recently, a few months ago, actually, how when you haven't read your word for a little bit, the Bible, it gets a little hard to start, right? Who knows if they get real sleepy the first time you start reading your Bible, but you could watch, you know, TV for 10 hours. It's a spiritual thing, right? But as you do more and more, you develop this spiritual discipline and the spiritual muscles of getting in the word, eventually you're going to notice that you're going to start wanting it more and more and more. The reality is that you will become whatever you are feeding yourself. That works for food too, right? If you eat unhealthy food, you're always going to want unhealthy food. If you start eating healthy food, your body's going to start wanting healthy food. I know that sounds crazy, but that is the way it works. If you feed your body, if you feed your soul sinful things, wicked things, things of the world, you're always going to want the things of the world. If you make a decision by the power of the Spirit to pursue the Lord and you're reading the word and you're praying, it's going to be hard at first, but then it gets easier because you are being conformed and transformed into the image of the Messiah, and then you can be pleasing to the Lord. Amen. I'll leave you with this last verse and then we can pray. John 15:5 says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. No, my marriage will be okay. Nothing. My job will be all right. Nothing. My ministry will be okay. Nothing. My kids will be all right. Nothing. Read it one more time. I'm the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's press in again, leaning, loving, and remaining before this holy Lord and God. Amen. Let's pray. Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in heaven, is what it means. Abba, I'm so thankful, Lord. Father, I'm so thankful for this community, for this word, for the truth that you've given us, Lord. Lord, I know, Lord, that you empower your people, strengthen your people, Lord. I just pray for fresh fire to fall on your people, a fresh fire of your Spirit, a greater devotion. No matter how close we're walking with you, Lord, there's always closer, there's always deeper, there's always more intimacy. Father, I pray fire on your people, Lord. Inspire us, Lord, and move us to find a space to be with you, a space to pray, to seek you, to dig into the word, to be refreshed and restored. We come against the lie of the enemy and the lie of our flesh that maybe we've sinned too much or maybe that we've gone too far or maybe that we've missed the mark too much and that maybe the wilderness is unattainable for us. No. The wilderness, Lord, is where we need to be. Abba, I pray, Lord, that you would minister to every single one of us by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that we would press in to your path, your way, your truth. Thank you that although no matter what our mistakes have been, no matter what our shortcomings have been, you are calling us back to the wilderness in kindness. And whatever we've done, Lord, however we've approached this life, you can cause it to be fruitful. The God who formed everything out of nothing can surely fix whatever mess we've made. Lord, we submit our lives to you, submit this word to you, and we commit ourselves, Lord, to more deeply press in, to carve out space and time for you, Lord, to approach this dying world and all of our situations with your perspective. Lord, may we be the hands and feet of Jesus. May we proclaim your word, Lord. May we be transformed. And may we see many come into the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, Messiah. And God's people said, NC Church, thank y'all so much for having me. May the Lord bless you. Have a great week. Amen. Amen. If you see my little boys running around, say hi to them and then tell them to stop running. And NC Church, we'll see you next week. Be blessed in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Amen.